Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass.
Our next guest is Rhea Dillon, a special counsel, and my apologies, Rhea, if I've got this wrong, at Fee Finney McDonald. You might want to correct me before.
Spot on.
Oh, spot on. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I've done something right.
But I said Fi.
I've done something right this morning. That's good. Look, we're interested in talking about, you know, in the legal system, we've seen a lot of news of late, particularly around Dyson Heydon and sexual harassment in the workforce in the legal system, whether it's the courts or in firms. And it seems to me that this, you know, this can be a bit of a, well, more than a bit, it's a big impediment to people wanting to enter the profession. Is that a fair thing to say, Rhea?
Well, I think that's right. In a sense, I mean, up until the story broke out a couple of weeks ago about the allegations about Dyson Heydon, I would have presumed that, you know, sexual harassment wasn't necessarily still a barrier to entry itself to the legal profession, but perhaps unfortunately a common experience to women once they were in the profession. But the very shocking part about the allegations were that a whole lot of female associates who had worked with Dyson Heydon had, you know, declared that they had left the legal profession behind before the lesson started. And we're talking about Oxford graduates and amazing scholars who could have been, you know, who could have made a real amazing contribution to the profession and been role models for a lot of other females. And it was just very upsetting to see that they'd left those careers behind.
I'm just surprised Dyson Heydon had time to write any judgments.
Look, you know, there's still a bunch of allegations, and we have to be very careful about what we say about them. But very much the experience of women is resoundingly that this really struck a really deep chord with a lot of women in the legal profession. And I think the point that we made in the article we wrote, just a few of us female lawyers at the firm, really struck a very deep chord in that people were saying, well, no, this can't go on as some open secret. Men, just because they're in the, they're at the head of the preeminent legal institution in our country.
I think that's what is the most shocking thing about it to most people. I don't think any of us actually would say that there isn't sexual harassment and misogyny going on in all industries, and the legal world is not going to be any different. But for allegations like this to be made about the highest court in the land, that says, you know, to me that it's not just, you know, water cooler talk. You know, let's not talk about the specifics, but, you know, this is the highest court in the land, which actually has a female chief justice, and
100%.
Yeah, I just find when I first read this and heard this, I was dumbfounded.
A bit of a shock.
I was dumbfounded. I wasn't blind, you know, to the fact that this goes on in every industry, but I was, you know, not only was I dumbfounded, I was really annoyed and upset. You know, this is at the pillar of our society, and you know, young women going through university, training to be lawyers, I can understand why some of them would go, well, you know, why do I want to be part of a legal system that allows this to happen?
That's 100% correct, and I'm glad to hear that was your reaction, because for many of us, as the story emerged, there was a lot of whinglash, and you know, a lot of the articles were talking about how this had been an open secret, which really meant by implication that, you know, the majority of the people on the bench at the time and in the court at the time, whether they knew about it or not, it was sort of going, it just went on without any kind of accountability.
I need you to stand still or near a window because you're dropping in and out, sorry.
No, it's worse.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's cool. No, keep going.
Okay. I suppose the issue, it doesn't seem to be a right coincidence at Justice Kibble, who was appointed Chief Justice in the female Chief Justice in 2018, and embarked on an investigation. 2 years, and these allegations then emerged and were finally aired. So, you know, it took a female to break the silence.
Ray, we can't hear you at all, actually. The line's really bad. If you can't move to another spot, we might actually have to call it.
Yeah, because it's we're only getting every third word. Are you able to go outside? Is it raining?
Is that any better?
Yeah, maybe.
Yep. So you said there that, you know, it's taken a female Chief Justice.
Okay. I think we've lost Rhea. I think that's that, Macca.
Yeah. What we'll do is we'll get Rhea back, I think, next week, but we'll get her on a landline.
Yeah.
This is a really important issue.
I agree. But what are your reflections about this, Macca?
Look, I was dumbfounded, to be honest, when I saw these allegations. I was cross. I was angry. You know, I believe in the rule of law. And even when I don't agree with the judgment, as I didn't in the Pell case, right, respect the law, respect the process, respect the independence. Now, the independence of the judiciary sometimes is called into question. But this is about basic human decency, about people being able to go to work and being able to practice law in the interest of everyone without fear or favour and without being groped or touched up, right? And I was shocked. I was really angry. And I can understand why, you know, a young woman studying law would go, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this. And
Macca,
we're going to lose a huge lot of talent.
Do you think this actually brings into question any of his judgments?
Well, I think...
I mean, this is a really tough one because at the end of the day, what I'm saying
is... He said some appalling things previously, you know, about...
And he's done appalling things to women.
About child sex abuse.
And
right?
He's done appalling things to women.
And that's, I say it here, I think he's an appalling person.
Do you think that those
on the basis of some of his judgments...
Do you think have come out in his judgments?
Of course. No judge, you know, no judge, no lawyer ever is an island unto themselves. And, you know, what you think and what you believe, yes, you try as hard as you can, and this is the whole purpose, is to follow the law. Now, it's whether you believe literally or figuratively in the law, but the reality is, of course, it influences his judgments.
This takes me back to an argument that Bronwyn Pike made a few weeks ago, Macca, the week that you're away. The last time that you're away, actually, and she said that there is a greater expectation in our society that people's private lives are aligned with their public lives.
Yeah,
And this is a case where you've got somebody whose private life was really out of kilter with society's expectations.
Yeah.
And perhaps it actually has affected the results of or some of his decisions in his public life.
And, you know, let's just use an example, and it is absolutely...
Am I allowed to say that, by the way, or am I actually going to get into trouble?
You just did. You know, a member of our community who's very highly respected, Justice Michael Kirby, and a lot of people perhaps didn't know that Justice Michael Kirby was a very strong monarchist, or is a very strong monarchist. Now, that's not unusual in the legal system, which is based on the English justice system. But you know, if I didn't know that and someone asked me, if would I have thought that he was a monarchist, I'd probably say no. But again, so does that private view, how does that align with their judgments? Tass, I think, and this doesn't just happen in the High Court.
No, it happens everywhere.
This happens, you know.
That's exactly what 317 has just said. 317 has said there is sadly harassment everywhere now, especially in the blokey world of politics. And if you look at, I mean, the way in which some of our political leaders have behaved, Macker, I mean, some of those behaviours that have been reported about President Trump's behaviour, I mean, it goes straight to the heart of what we're talking about today.
And, you know, we are supposed to have, Tass, Trump is a great example. We have an independent judiciary, ostensibly, right? But High Court judges are appointed by the government, right? The Chief Justice is appointed by the government.
Of the day.
Of the day. Not by a vote of both powers of Parliament. And do you know how hard it is to remove a judge?
Very hard.
Right? It's almost impossible. A federal judge, it has to be a majority vote of both houses. Now, the problem we have in America, the justice system, the Supreme Court in recent days has proved its independence in a number of judgments, one around LGBTI rights, and they've shown that even conservative judges, judges that you think, oh, I don't really agree with that person, they've made a judgment that is based not just on their belief, because it was based just on their belief, they wouldn't have voted the way they did. They voted on the basis of their interpretation of law, and that's what it's got to be. So there is hope. But I think, you know, magistrates' court, county court, Supreme Court, tribunals, you know, this is happening. And it's happening in legal practices. It happens to interns. I mean, I know that, you know.
It's not exclusive to the law.
No, it's not exclusive. That's what we're at. But this is, law is what governs our society. It's at the basis of why we like to call ourselves civilised. And while this goes on, we are not civilised. We are thugs.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.